Good morning, everyone. I am glad to see you guys here this morning. Welcome to the Mount Carroll Church of God. We are excited to have you guys here with us. And for you today on the church buffet, we have a wonderful time in worship and the Word, and we encourage you to participate and to sing gladly. We have several announcements that we want to take care of, some of which are good announcements. And it's good in this way, my father-in-law's battle with cancer and struggle at 80 years of age is over, and he is at home with the Lord. And we got to send him off in a magnificent way last Monday, and there were many people who spoke great things of him and all that he was and meant to them. We thank you for your cards and your prayers during that time, and it was emotional, it was difficult, but as you know, when a loved one goes and passes on to be with the Lord, there's no greater thing than that. The only thing greater is making sure that our family and friends will be with them and us one day as well. A couple other things. Please continue to pray for Libby Thulin as she goes through another round of treatment, trying to get ready for her bone marrow transplant. Continue to pray for all the people listed on the prayer request sheet. And also pray for the Handel family as Virgil passed away yesterday a little after 2 p.m. And he has gone home to be with the Lord as well. So you can send cards down and encourage them at their home address at this time. All right. That's all the time we have for prayer requests and updates. So let's pray for these and go before the Lord and start worship today. Father God, I thank you so much for this great day that you've given to us. It's a day that we gather together to worship together as a family of believers. We thank you so much for the fact that you have called us to be yours and we have responded. And that way we can come here and celebrate you and all that you've done for us. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your commitment to us that was far beyond anything we deserved. Where you came into this world and you gave your life for us and you rose from the dead so that we could be part of your family forever. But it's not just that you saved us for that moment. You've saved us for this moment as well. And we can live for you in a way that honors you and pleases you. And Lord, we thank you for the heritage of faith that we have, where we have loved ones who have come to know you and love you and serve you. And like Dwight and Virgil who passed away, Lord, we thank you that they are with you and in your presence, however you've got that worked out. And Lord, we trust them into your care. And Lord God, we just ask that today you would be with all those who are sick and in need. We ask that you would watch over them and you'd protect them. Guide the doctors as they care for them. Be with Larry as he's got a lot of things on his plate and keep him safe and within your care. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to use us as your church to tell the whole world that they too can be saved, that they can know you if they know you as Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that all God's people say, amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
Oh, Who makes the power sin in darkness? Whose love is mighty, so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leads us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory.
My mind, my soul, I can't be controlled.
Lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes.
Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that you have the market cornered on infinite wisdom, that you are all-knowing, that you are all-powerful, that you are ever-present, and that you are all-loving, knowing all that you know and all that we need. And in your understanding of all those things, you knew that we needed Jesus more than anything. So you didn't keep him to yourself, but you sent him into the world to seek and save that which has been lost, that which has been separated by sin and deserving of death and hell. But you extended to us an offer of love and mercy and grace. So, Lord, we come before you today and say, Jesus, we know of you, but we want to know you more. And we need you today. So that through the presence of the power of your Holy Spirit, you may open our minds and our hearts to what you're about to hit us squarely with, and that we would be encouraged with the fact that you love us, you are knowable, and we are yours if we come to you by faith. In and through the wonderful name in Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You know, it's interesting. This is the sermon I had intended to preach last Sunday. And once again, I sit there and I laugh and I marvel at the fact that John, and when he picked out songs, didn't know what I was going to say. He didn't have this. But I sit and I giggled as I looked at the songs and I looked at the sermon and how they just so happened to work out for us. That things match up and line up in a way that were just going to help us through answering the question Jesus asks each and every one of us, who do you say I am? And a couple of weeks ago when I preached, we were looking at a guy named Cornelius, and he was a man who he and his family had no reason to be included into the kingdom of God. They were Italians, they were Romans, they were military people, they were oppressors, they were all the things that probably would put them out of the camp. They weren't Jewish by any means, except for the fact that something was triggered in Cornelius's life where he began to search out and seek after God. Something triggered him, some little bit of light shone in his life, and it's kind of like a cat that sees a ray of sunshine. Where are you going to find the cat? Curled up in a ball in that little ray of sunshine, and the cat will move with the sun if necessary to stay warm and enjoy that light. But whatever it was in Cornelius's life, he was following that light as it progressed, and he began to draw closer and closer to God, and he became better Jewish than the Jews were. He sought after him began to search after God, and God just kept giving him more light and more light and more of what he needed to take the next step so that he could find out who God is. Last week, Pastor Travis talked about how God put it on his heart to reach out to his neighbors. And he went to Debbie next door, and he began to share with him and just love him and help him and serve him and be in relationship with him. And it was interesting as he told how his neighbor said, I need you to meet someone. And here was a woman dying of cancer who got to hear the gospel message. All because Travis was faithful with the light that he had and did what God was calling him to do. And his neighbor said, I knew I needed to get you two together so she could have hope. And you know, you and I are responsible to explore the light that God has given to each one of us to its furthest limit, so that we receive our next steps and where he wants us to go and who he wants us to become. Yes, it's for salvation, that is for sure, but It's for a life lived out, sold out passionately for Him. And what's interesting is that somewhere along the line, multiple points along our lifetime, we will be faced with the question that only Jesus can ask, who do you say that I am? It's not a one-time deal. It just doesn't happen and we get saved and life is great and everybody sings kumbaya and we're all in and we're all in the boat together going, ooh, this great. But over the course of our lifetime, He will continually come back to us and ask, who do you say I am? And He always knows the best time to ask those questions of us. He starts out with a simple question of come follow me. And as we walk into that, we see that there's so much more than we bargained for. And that's what the disciples were finding out as they walked with Jesus over those 3.5 years. And just 3 weeks, we celebrate Easter and all that it is. And what's interesting is that after 3 years or so of this walking with Jesus, He takes them on a spiritual retreat. They had been pounding out a grueling schedule, teaching and healing and traveling, going from town to town and place to place. And the crowds were coming and asking all kinds of questions in Matthew 16. And we see all this stuff just rolling and rolling and gathering up steam and getting bigger. We see those who opposed them and were combative towards what Jesus was trying to do. And all of this was taking its toll on all of them, even Jesus. At one point in time, He sat wearily by a well, waiting for an appointment with a woman that most people wouldn't associate with, to share the gospel with her, and He was thirsty. One time He fell asleep in the back of a boat during a really bad storm that was going to capsize the ship, and He was just sacked out, just resting. You know, He's like us. But one of the things that Jesus impressed upon them and was taking them deeper and deeper into a relationship with Him was the fact that we always have to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who He is. From that initial come follow me and all that they had seen and learned over those years, it was taking them deeper and deeper, and He was going to reveal and confirm to them His identity as deity, as the Son of God. He was going to share with them about the founding of the church and explain what was going to happen down the road, and He began to prepare them for His death on the cross. And that really caught Peter's attention, because this time at this retreat, those questions that were being raised and being answered, it began to stir up in him this fact that Jesus was the Messiah and we've got to protect Him. But Jesus, being great at using what was going on around them at all times to take them on a deeper walk with Him, asked them, verses 13 through 14, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, if we're honest about this, they gave Him the good rundown list, right? The kind list, the church correct things that you say in order to make sure that, you know, you don't offend anybody. They were being politically correct before political correctness was correct. But being honest, there were some other things that people were saying about Jesus. In Matthew 11, 19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say He's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That wasn't polite nor kind. That was accusatory from the temple goers. In John 7:20, they said, you are demon-possessed. They looked at Him and said, you're crazy, you're possessed by the devil. And because of how He preached against sin, many thought maybe He was John the Baptist or a prophet, because we even see that the Roman leaders were acknowledging that there was something different about this Jesus. In Matthew 14, 1 through 2, it says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work with him. It's kind of interesting to see that before the Jews, before anyone else was believing who Jesus is, here is this Roman tetrarch saying he is raised from the dead before it even happened. Some thought he may be Elijah due to the miracles he performed and the way he rebuked the hypocrites. Some thought he was Jeremiah due to his compassion and tears for those in pain. And it was then that Jesus took things deeper with those that knew him best. In Matthew 16, 15 through 17, he asks a question, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered up. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." How awesome was that? Let me tell you something. There were 11 other guys who were totally relieved that they did not have to answer that question. But this is a question that every last one of us will answer to Jesus directly. Who do you say I am? This isn't just a question on the entrance exam. This is the exam. And the truth of your answer is being lived out by the testimony of your life last week, today, and tomorrow. It's the most important question ever to be asked of any of us. More important than, will you marry me? Do you love me? Do you still care? This question right here sums up everything for us in life. Who do we say Jesus is? Because it defines how we will answer every question in our life. It will define how we treat one another. It will define how we live in this world and what we do for people. It is the most important question we have to settle in our lifetime, because it determines everything that happens for us for eternity. And it forces us to make a decision of our own, not based on other people's opinions or how we feel today about what it says or what our mama told us. We have to look at the facts of the matter and we have to make a decision. And we're standing all alone on this one question and how we answer it. And I love how Peter spoke up so quickly, not even waiting for the holy huddle to get together to debate the possibilities. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that answer was swift, and that answer Peter gave was right and true. Because Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by man in the holy huddle, but by my Father in heaven." You know, I want you to know something important about Peter's faith development, because Peter is nowhere near done yet. He started out with that, "Come follow me, Peter." And he did. "Step out of the boat with me, Peter." And he did. "You are the Christ." And when he said that, he understood up here that Jesus was the Old Testament equivalent of the Messiah, the one who was anointed by God to rescue his people from their enemies and establish his righteous kingdom. He knew that up here. He believed that in here, that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But like the Jews, Peter probably viewed Jesus as merely a political figure and an earthly king, instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all. And Peter would soon learn that what Jesus came to do was to rescue all of us from sin and death and hell that we all deserve by giving his life and a cross as a ransom for many. That's why Peter opposed him so vehemently and said, no, Jesus, you just said you're going to go to Jerusalem and die. That's not going to happen. That's why when the soldiers came to arrest him and take him away to try him and crucify him, Peter pulls out his sword and takes off Malchus's ear. And Jesus says, whoa, no. Settle down, Peter. And hold on. Put your sword away. And picks up his ear and says, Malchus, be healed. Puts the guy's ear back on him. He didn't ask, but Jesus just did it. Just like he doesn't ask us if he could die on the cross for our sins, he did it. And you either accept him as Savior and Lord or you don't. See, that was the new spot where Peter was at, where he was going to have to shift Jesus from being Messiah and Savior to dying Messiah and Savior and Lord of all. There are many people who acknowledge Jesus as a good teacher or a prophet or a man of God or even Savior. They may know the facts concerning Jesus better than we do ourselves, kind of like Cornelius did. He knew what to do and he did it better than the Jews did. So he was giving Paul a run for his money. There are many people who know how to be Christian better than we do. And they act and live out Christianity better than we do. But they don't know him as Savior and they don't know him as Lord. They may even look at the scriptures and look at all the hundreds of testimonies and accounts of what Jesus is and who he is and what he did. And they may convict him in a court of law of being exactly what Peter and the Bible point to us. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even though they convict him of this title, they deny him for who he really is. Just like we convict him as the title of Savior. Get us out of hell. But we deny him as Lord over our lives. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords over all the earth. Over all people. And before him, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the problem. The devil does that too. And the devil and his demons and all those who have rejected him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior, and Lord of all, those who reject him will go off into everlasting punishment. But to those who accept him and do their best to live for him, those go into everlasting life. But somewhere between the mental understanding and a verdict being cast and the confession of him as Savior is the religious experience of getting to know Jesus Christ, the Lord, as the Lord of all of our lives. There needs to be more than just the mental assent that he is Messiah, the Savior for the world, and we need to make him our Messiah, our Savior, my Messiah, my Savior, and that only comes through faith. Many, like the rich young ruler and Paul, follow the rules and obey them, thinking they're pleasing God. Many know him as Savior and don't walk in his ways. And I know it's easy for us to look at the recorded story and the conversation between Jesus and Peter, and we look at it and we say, come on, Peter, connect all the dots. But he didn't have all of the dots yet. This is before the cross. This is before the empty tomb. He's still struggling with the whole idea of what does Jesus mean by, I am the Messiah and Savior of the world. He's trying to put that together. But Jesus is at work in his heart, in his mind, and in his life. Just like right now, he is at work in ours, bringing us along to a point like Peter, where he's able to ask that question, where he's able to connect the dots he has to that point, and he's able to say, who do you say that I am, Peter? And the question he keeps asking us over and over again every single day is, who do you say I am? You know, I envy Peter. At least he had ignorance to fall back upon. Because he didn't have all the dots laid out. He didn't have the trial, and he didn't have the crucifixion, and he didn't have the empty tomb, and he didn't have the ascension, and he didn't have the go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't have any of that stuff like we do. But he sure was connecting the dots he had. Have you? See, ladies and gentlemen, we have all the dots. And we even have been told the future dots. And are we making him Savior and Lord or not? You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to take time and remember the cross, and we're going to celebrate the empty tomb, and we're going to see a lot of people walk through the doors, I hope, that will be able to come and to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and he died on the cross for our sins to set us free from sin and hell and death forever, and he wants us to live with him forevermore. I can't wait to be able to share that good news. But is your life sharing that good news every day that he's your Savior and your Lord? So I want to ask you today that very same question that Jesus asked of Peter. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? What do you believe him to be? Because it's acted out, like I said, by the answers you give by your life right now. And the answer that you give this day indicates where you're at on your journey with Jesus. So I want to tell you something that in response to the question, who do you say Jesus is, there's some great responses. But they all require us to go further, to know more and become more. Because you might be able to answer the question, who do you say Jesus is, with I don't know. I don't know. You guys seem to think he's pretty important. I don't know who he is yet. And that's great. I am glad you can be that honest. And I am glad that you are wanting, that you've got the understanding that you don't yet grasp who Jesus is. But I want to invite you on a journey to find out that answer to that most important question. Because you have to answer that question right now in this life. Because when you stand before God and you answer that question, he really knows the answer to that question for you that you're saying. I had a good friend send me an email and sit there and say, I'm worried, Vince. Will we really have to give an account of our life before Jesus one day? And I'm like, well, the Bible says we will. But my life is an absolute wreck. I once lived and stood for God so strongly, but then I ended up divorced and falling apart at the seams, and I don't know what to do, and my life is falling apart, and I don't know the answers. And I came back to, who's Jesus? Your debt was paid at the cross. And oh, you failed just like me and every other Christian who has walked this planet? Amazing. I guess we're going to trust Jesus at his word, right? She said, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. You know, some of us have answered that question of who is Jesus with, he's my Savior, and that is awesome. I am exceedingly happy for that, that you've done that. And because of that confession of him as the Savior of your life, that he's the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins, he rose on the third day to give you everlasting life, I am exceedingly great that he is your Savior. But I invite you on a journey to look at the scriptures to make sure that you're not missing something. That he wants to be something more than just the one who saves you from sin and death and hell. That he has more than just eternity in mind for you. He wants to give you a life to the full right now, and you can fully live for him. And there are some in the room and watching today that are going to say, he is my Savior and my Lord. Maybe you're like good old Doubting Thomas and you're saying, you know, hey, unless I put my hand in his side, put my hand, fingers in his nail scars, I'm not going to believe. And he's answered your questions and said, here, go ahead. Go ahead, it's okay. And you're going, my Lord and my God, my Savior, my friend, my Lord. But just remember, we never arrive until we safely arrive in the arms of Jesus. And he's always asking us to go a little further with him. So I invite you on a journey to look and to see where does he want you to go from there? Because you have not arrived yet. How do I know? Take a breath. You got a ways to go. And some of us have further to go than others. And what is he calling you to do with your faith anyways? How is he calling you to live out your life for him, the one he's given back to you? And who is it you're going to bring along to meet your Jesus on the journey with you? Who do you say Jesus is? Who are you going to go to like Travis did to be a neighbor to be a friend with so you get an opportunity to share Jesus and let Jesus open that door and a whole host of others like he got to with that woman dying of cancer? See, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus wants us to answer that all-important question. Who do you say Jesus is? Because here's the truth about who Jesus is. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know, it's funny because that happens to go along with our closing song. So as the worship team comes up to lead us in that song, I want you to be thinking about that. I know you teach Sunday school. I know that you are on the board. I know that you are leaders in the church and you may do good things, but here's the thing. There's a lot of people who do those things and don't have a clue who Jesus is. My question for you is, who do you really say Jesus is? And it's not a question you have to answer to me. It's one that Jesus is asking you today. Maybe you don't know. Come along with us. Maybe he's just your Savior. Does he want to be more? Maybe he's your Savior and your Lord. Have you stopped walking forward by faith to the edge of the light to see what new things he has in store for you? Maybe you're keeping Jesus to yourself instead of shouting who Jesus is until people call you crazy. Because it don't matter what the world says. They all think we're crazy anyways. It just matters what Jesus says. And in the end, my hope and my prayer is he will say, "My friend, well done." And we'll say, "My Lord and my God." Let's pray. Jesus, at times, we've all said, "I don't know." At times, we've claimed you as Savior. Other times, we have put you rightfully on the throne as Lord. And I just pray that we would all wrestle and not sleep until we can accurately answer the question, "Who is Jesus to me?" For there is no other name in all the universe by which we might be saved other than through Jesus, the name above all names, before whom we will one day bow. At the name of Jesus, darkness and death flee. And because of the name of Jesus, the Son of God who loved us enough to die for us, we are saved and we are yours forever. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song.
Thank you.
'Cause nothing has the power to save.
But a wife that knows CPR and constantly gives doctors reasons to hone their abilities and skills. And Larry was just told that he is a physical specimen of health. Not good. Not good health. And he's got an aneurysm in his aorta, stomach, that's going to need a little bit of roto-rootering and fixing up. But the good thing is, he knows Jesus. And he's got some great doctors who are going to care for him. And no matter how it goes, he knows Jesus. And just think that just a few years ago, probably wasn't the answer you would give. So let's pray for Larry. And all of us knuckleheads and chuckleheads, I think we know everything. And trust Jesus. Father God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. For it is through his name, through his life, through his death, through his service as Savior and Lord of all, that Larry knows he's gonna be all right no matter what happens here. So we ask that you'd be with him and his family and that you would let them walk in confidence knowing that. And that you would guide mortal men to do the best they can to patch him up once again. He is such a mess. But he is your saved and secure mess. Watch over him, bless him and his family, and may your love continue to be a testimony that is spoken loudly through his life. And Lord, may we all be able to live our lives with that same confidence that Larry has, that it's going to be all right because he's got Jesus. And may we all answer that question. And may we all hear, like Peter, blessed are you. Well done. You know the answer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. See you next week, folks. Have a great day. The offering plates are by the doors. Don't forget to put on your mask as you leave. Thank you much.